Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and we watched three things this week. We started off with the new Matthew Vaughn film, Argylle. We then watched the fourth episode of True Detective Night Country, and the third episode of Expats from Lulu Wang. A major spoiler alert for both of those, and also a content warning for both of them. They deal with some pretty heavy subjects. And now, without further ado, here's We're Watching What? We kicked things off with Argylle. I want to start with, are you two Matthew Vaughn fans?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Jackie? I could see you being on the fence, actually.
It depends, honestly.
That's fair. Yes.
It's not an always thing for me.
Sure, sure. I mean,
I have loved him until The King's Man. I've loved everything he's done before that.
I don't remember even watching. I know I saw The King's Man because it was new at the time and it was like pandemic-y, but I don't remember a single thing about it.
You might have wiped it from your memory because I thought it was... Well, Jackie, I remember we talked to you. You didn't hate it, but I remember I thought it was dreadful, but... I've loved every, I really, really liked or loved everything he's done before that.
Yeah, it's pretty hit or miss for me. I don't really care about like Lock, Stock, and Barrels or whatever that one is.
Although technically only the producer on that one. So you are.
Yeah, yeah. Direction, it's like First Class. It's the Kingsman movies. It's the Kick-Ass movies.
Yeah, I mean, Layer Cake. I also forgot that
Layer
he was
Cake,
the.
Layer Cake, so good. Yeah.
Writer, or I guess adapter and director of Stardust, which is one of my favorite.
Yeah, and that's my.
I love Stardust.
Okay, so we're all Matthew Vaughn fans of a sort.
Yeah.
All right, so how did this rank in your Vaughniverse?
Like the definitive ranking of the
definitive Vaughniverse.
I feel like, Matt, you should go first. What did you think?
What do you think I thought?
I love that none of us are willing to say.
I'm going to say, I have things to say, but I'm just, okay. But I'm actually really curious about what you guys think I thought.
I think you're generally the most generous out of all of us, so I think you thought it was fine.
Fine, finding the bar.
Well, I don't think you loved it, but I don't think you were like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say almost a direct quote when I came out of it was like, that was one of the worst things I've ever seen. I will say.
Oh,
that.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
all right. Please elaborate.
Yeah. So that makes sense because it was bad. It was bad, right? Like,
oh, there's no question. I mean, it was, I mean, right? I thought like, I couldn't, it blew my mind. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Like, it very rarely does a film cross over to something where I was like, I cannot believe what I'm watching right now. Like, it just, it blew my mind. I don't want to use the word hate, but I don't know. I would have to be heavily intoxicated to ever watch this film again. And I may do that, but
I don't think you will. I mean, I don't think there's a reason to.
I was sober and I was laughing. I was brought to tears during the oil skating scene, for sure.
What is the word here? Incredulity? I'm just going to make it up here.
The thing that came to mind was Cats, like in that way where I was just like I don't understand what I'm watching right now and I have no choice but to just cry and laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Me went to a place like the problem is it's like Cats starts out that way and just never lets up and it's like it's just
thank
a
God
constant,
for that
like ride.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But this was like it makes you wait. I mean, it was not good. I didn't think at any point in the movie. But it was just making you wait so long for it to become like just
bonkers.
Diabolical. It just kept on one upping. Like it, like at one point when Sam Jackson came in, I remember just being like, okay, he's going to be here. He's going to try to save this film. And then not because of him, but everything after that just got progressively worse and worse and worse and worse. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Okay. Jackie, I'm no longer going to guess what people's reactions were.
Yeah, that was awful. It was so bad. Did not have a good time.
I had a good time.
No, yeah, not because they wanted you to have a good time. You forced yourself into having a good time. Yeah.
Well, I didn't have a choice, but it was something that it was just like I was having a good time in all the ways that I don't, unless I just missed the memo, I was having a good time in all the ways I don't think he intended me to.
Sure.
Like I think he really thought he was, or they all, whoever. You know, he didn't write it, but they thought that they were crafting something that was like a really smart kind of in the ways that Enchanted made fun of like the fantasy genre or the princess genre, I guess, of Disney in a way. And Disney did it to themselves, of course. But it's like this was, I felt like he was making fun of the spy genre.
But I don't think he thought he was making fun of it. So an important distinction, I do want to bring this up, not written by Matthew Vaughn, written by a person called Jason Fuchs. And I would like you all to know that his first credit of any sort is he was a character in Flipper. He was a young actor. So that tells you what we're starting with. He is the screenwriter of Pan. Also the screenwriter of Ice Age Continental Drift, which, like, whatever on that one. But Pan.
See, and I like Joe Wright, and Pan was the first where I was like, why?
And I think, like, we are starting to identify a pattern.
I think we found it. Damn.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back.
I mean, I guess I haven't really seen... people keep trying to do this thing where the author is writing something real. And, you know, Supernatural did it. Like, what else? There's, like, a couple other times I've seen it. And it just never quite works.
Well, I thought what was very funny and timely is that we just talked about American Fiction and how the visualization in that of, you know, characters coming to life and, like, having a conversation with the author and all that stuff is brilliant, like, really well done. And then this is the antithesis of that. This is, like, the worst possible version of that. But I will say, I think the only other screening I've been to in theaters this year is, like, The Beekeeper, which I had a great time at. I can't remember, like, a ton of others. So this was, like, one of my first screenings of the year, technically. And so I was, like, fine during it. I thought it was too long. I didn't think it was great, but I didn't think it was as bad as suddenly everybody has been like, this is the worst thing in the world. I was like,
the dance fight scene, and
that was
the
my
oil
favorite
skating?
Scene not the ice
the
skating
oil
but the
skating
the,
oh
the dance
my
fight scene
God.
I loved because I was like, I guess we're just going there. We're gonna lose it. We're
I just wanted
mind.
To die. Like, I can't watch that. I mean, I get so embarrassed. I can't handle it. You know, I just.
But I was like, we're going there. But to me, that was him trying to. I really do. I really feel like he thought he was like, look how silly these spy. Because it's like he was trying to show reality versus fiction, and he was like showing like, oh, you know, it's like I thought it was confused on what it was trying to do. Like, it's like, oh, we have Henry Cavill, and he's like, oh, that's. And Dua Lipa, but really, this is Sam Rockwell's what it would look like, right? It's like he's trying to, like, show the duality of it. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, let me tell you how much. Speaking of that, once they, like, identify that John Cena is actually the Sam Rockwell stand-in, and that she is the spoilers Henry Cavill. At the end, I was like, oh my god, I want them to kiss so badly. I want Henry Cavill and John Cena to kiss so badly.
Well, that's
this movie. Would have been worth it if those two.
I thought they were gonna go there, and I was like, well, you might, you know, but.
But anyway,
obviously they should have. Yeah.
But it just it and I okay. I'm gonna draw a comparison that I'm not meaning to say. I think this other movie is as bad as this, but it makes me feel the way my main critique of when we talked about Barbie. Right, of that, I felt like it was a cool, really fun, like, idea, or like there's like a that was cooler idea than this was. But I mean, an idea that, like, you didn't have to go and complicate to the level you did, and I think it could have been stripped back and, like, better. And I felt like this was like, okay, you're doing this idea, you're like, oh, you know, she's writing these books, and it's so eerily close to this other, you know, organization that it's like they're after her because they're like, okay, she must be a covert spy or something. And, like, you know, she's wrongfully implicated in this whole thing. And it could have just been a fun movie about that. Not that it's terribly original, but then this whole just, like, this plot of, like, she was actually doing it, and it's, she's writing about things that happened, and she actually has a secret that no one has the answer
to. I can't handle that.
And then,
I just,
like, Catherine O'Hara and, like, Bryan Cranston went, and they just, like, oh, we're just going to pretend to be your parents and do all this to get it out of you. Instead of, like, if she was working for them, why not just get her and recover her, like, you know, tell her all these things. Like, it's like they concocted this stupid plan. And I am so offended at Catherine O'Hara's attempt at a British accent. And I love that woman.
I was just delighted to see her in a feature film of this, you know, budget.
Well, I was delighted, but I felt disrespected on her behalf.
I mean,
I was just,
it was just Moira Rose. Like, with the British accent aside, I just went, oh, it's Moira.
But it wasn't a British accent. And that's why I was like, what in the world are they making this woman do? And I was like, I don't know.
I don't think they were making her do that. Place. I think that's just her best attempt at.
Well, what are they letting her do then? I don't know. Because it was just.
That's the right question.
And why is she doing it? Because I think she's a fantastic actress, and this just was not it for me. I was aghast. if that's not clear, I was aghast.
I didn't expect this level of distaste for this film, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Part of it is because of how much I love his other stuff.
Yes,
too.
Exactly.
So it's
I
like
think
this,
that is
like,
the
mighty
problem. Is that they're
fallen. Like, right. It's a strike two. And it's up.
I kept getting distracted by Henry Cavill is the most oddly shaped human being on the planet.
That hair.
The wardrobe choices exacerbated it. The hair was, oh my God. It was so, ironically, Sam Rockwell wore the hair okay. Not great, but like of the two.
I think that's why, but I think that's what was going on here is they wanted to make the silhouette right. And it was like, which again, he wasn't even him. It wasn't, they weren't, you know, they weren't each other in the real story. So it was like, why does he have to have the same hair? But it just,
The other thing I appreciated is that Bryce Dallas Howard was clearly like a normal sized human in this, and they kept trying to like hide it. It's like, oh, like she's got thighs. Good for her. Yeah. Like, and appreciated she took off her heels at one point. You know, it was. I'm digging for redeeming factors because I don't want to completely shit on this movie, but it's pretty shit worthy.
Did you like how when after she did her like 10-minute oil ice skating that she slid on her knees to kill the one guy and then got up and had not a spot of oil on
didn't
her
even notice at that point. Was not paying any attention.
Not even a spot. And then either. After that there was like a smudge on the dress and only one, but her knees were clean. Everything was I was like I oh
my no God. But I did notice they gave her this. Gold lamé shorts under and I was like yeah sure girl did. Get that spandex.
And it was
don't
just like
that coochie.
I was like why is this so long?
Oh like, it was
2 hours and 20 minutes of just what?
But do we think there's a world in which they could have salvaged this? I feel like there is. Like there's a story in here somewhere that I would have been interested in.
Yeah,
well,
I
they
think
just made it too complicated.
The complication that I was talking about. I think then it's kind of at least it could have been fun, you know. But
well, because then it's not. We're not just sitting there thinking like, wow, this is really bizarre and calm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it wanted to do was have a lot of twists and turns, but it didn't earn any of them, right? And then it's just like, oh, this is weird.
Yep, it was a movie, and then I have to bring up that I have no idea what the post-credit scene was. Like, I don't understand what was happening there.
I think it's just supposed to be like a prequel, even to the Kingsman, like, or it's like this character. Unless there's a guy in Kingsman that I'm not remembering that's last name was Argyle. I'm like, how dare you? Just stop. And well, obviously, Kingsman's already been tarnished because of that other movie, if you ask me. But I was just like, how dare you? Like, just leave them out of this.
My assumption was at some point the studio went, oh, God, we have to put something in here. Like, Matthew, you have to tie this to your other stuff. Otherwise, like,
but then they treated it like a movie announcement. So it made me think they were like, oh, great, let's franchise this. Because honestly,
no,
it
well,
said,
apparently
like,
it's a book. The story There's of, books.
But they're real?
Yes, you can buy books. By Ellie Cottonway.
Not doing that.
I dare one of you to read that.
No, not thank interested. You. Yeah.
Although the books are probably fine.
Well,
you know,
no,
like,
so here's the question. Is it a novelization
the books are better.
Is it a novelization of the film or is it the character, the Argyle story that she is writing? Because I would be interested to read it if it was the story of
I think
like, you know.
If it's by Ellie Cottonway, I would assume it's supposed to be an Argyle book, like about Agent Argyle, not Rachel. Giles or whatever her name was. And also, I like Bryce Dallas Howard. I don't think she's like the best actress of all time, but I do generally like her. I thought she was so miscast in this.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I just couldn't. And I was like, when every time they wanted me to believe that she had been this agent.
Super.
And just like every time she'd leap into action and she tried to be serious and was trying to be sultry and all these things and be like, I was like, I can't do this. I just can't do it. Like, I want her to just keep directing at this point.
Who would you have cast?
I guess I don't. I don't even
Nobody
know.
Nobody would
have
spare all think, actresses this opportunity.
I really just want to stop it from happening. I think, like, I'm trying to think who I would cast. It's funny because I say all that, but then I think, like, okay, someone else who I don't see working as an agent and, like, whatever because of like, her as an actress, whatever, would be, like, Melissa McCarthy. But Spy is one of my favorite comedies of all time. And I actually, like, even though it's so silly, I still kind of end up buying it. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm like, you know, like, as it was written in a way that, like, worked. So it's not that Bryce, I think, like, couldn't do it. But with this caliber of script, and by caliber, I mean, like, extremely low, in my opinion, I don't want to be too mean. I'm just saying, like, it was just not well written to me. Yeah. I don't think she was capable of pulling off what needed to happen. And I'm trying to think who I would put there. Yeah, I think, like, if you want to go, like, let's just say we want to stick with the theme of, like, casting, like, you know, an innocent redhead. Like, Jessica Chastain could have done it better. You know, like, I don't think, yeah. I don't want her, I don't want this for her, but I think she could have done it better.
Yeah, that's true.
She's more believable as a spy.
Yeah, maybe that's because I've seen her in, like, more of a quick-witted, like, you know, I've seen Miss Sloan and that kind of stuff where she's, like, sharp tongue and all that. But I don't know. I really don't know. I'd have to think on that.
Yeah. I mean, the first name that popped into my head was Angelina Jolie, but I was like, I don't believe her as, like, a innocent, like, cat
that's
owning.
That's the thing, right? You need to see her as the other side, you know?
Right. Rachel
because
Weisz.
They wanted it to be. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. That's the one.
Okay, great. We did it. We fixed the movie. You're that's welcome, fun. Matthew Vaughn and Jason Fuchs.
Yeah, please. I would say redo it, but please don't.
No, don't. Like,
no, let's not even bother.
Yeah. And I do want to say as a note, not that there was like an incredible amount being asked of the performance. I didn't think Dua Lipa was very bad in it. I don't want to give her the lead, but I was saying like, I thought she was fine for what I was like surprised. I was prepared to think she was the worst part about the thing. And because she's not an actress, but I didn't think she was any worse than the rest of the film.
No, I mean, her 5 minutes of screen time, she held her
Although
own.
I will say, where I fell apart, was just that opening sequence, that whole motorcycle. It just looked so bad, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
I thought it was just going to be, like, infinitely more sexual than it was. Like, you know, because James Bond is obviously just full of that stuff. And I thought we were going to make a joke about it, and I was like, no, we're not. Because it didn't want to commit to, like, being a James Bond, but it also didn't want to commit to being, like, anything else out of
it just wouldn't fully commit to anything, and then it tried to be too many things, and by I don't know, yeah, I just
but again, but, I still think there's an idea in there that I enjoy.
Yeah.
There's a root. There's a core.
Yeah, but often it's that ends up being the most upsetting thing for me is like I come out of something like you're like, wow, there was potential there and the talent that you have enlisted here is incredible, including the director. And because I will say, like, I guess the last thing I'll say about Matthew Vaughn and why this is so hurtful to me, I guess, is like, I have in many conversations credited him as one of the very few directors who, like, can almost just without fail get me interested in an action film. Not that all he does is action, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he does action in such a way that I actually like the action sequences in the film. Whereas, like, when I'm watching something that's high action, I often am, like, looking for the in-betweens, and the action stuff kind of, like, makes me just kind of, you know what I mean? But he does the opposite.
I'm sorry, you're saying that the oil ice skating didn't do it for you as an action scene? Oh,
when I do revisit this Intoxicated, I will be looking forward to that scene.
Okay.
But I was just saying, you know, like he was my action director. Well, I just don't know that I can ever trust him again.
I know. He's got one more chance. He's got one more chance.
Well, one more chance before he's over. But yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, you might be able to trust him. You're going to have to find out. You're going to have to gamble on his next film.
Yeah. It's just a bummer that the two misses are like right in a row, even though they're far apart. But his last two, it's like, this next release will really have me on pins and needles.
All right. Well,
what a shame.
What a shame. Moving on to something that hopefully wasn't a disappointment is True Detective Night Country, episode 4. We are 2/3 of the way through. Scary. I didn't like it.
I thought of you, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, no, what is happening here?
I thought of you, yeah.
I think.
I'm glad that, I'm not saying it would have put you off altogether, but I'm glad that you went through and watched season one before this last week, because this was the most horror themed, of course, I thought. And I felt like this is very different, right? Like they're eerie. It's kind of a horror-ish show, but it's like, this is the most horror it's been, I think.
Yeah.
And so I was glad you went back into season one before this week.
I was going to say, because like seasons 2 and 3, I'm guessing, are not this.
They're eerie parts, but they're not.
Like sure, sure. But there's like.
Yeah.
There's definitely like.
Supernatural eerie in this.
Yeah.
Overtly
I mean.
Supernatural eerie.
This one is very much more overtly supernatural, I think. The other one had like ways that you could interpret. As supernatural, but not necessarily.
Well, she watched season one now, and so she went through that. But and 2 and 3 don't really get any more supernatural than one. Yeah, it's like there's always there's like room for it. It's not saying.
Well, I hated it. Let me tell you.
Oh, you did?
No, I mean, it accomplished its goal. It's a good thing probably that I didn't get my internet back until today because I haven't been watching stuff at night as a byproduct. If I'd watched that night, I would have just shat my pants. Like, nope. So,
I'm loving it. My only real sadness is that we are
two-thirds of the way through.
Yeah. Like, it's like 20 episodes.
I'm just like where are we going with it? Because
I'm no longer sure where we're going, which is fine. Because this last episode, we didn't even really talk about the scientists. You know, the fleshicle was not an interest to us. But
we ran out of budget to show the fleshicle. They couldn't show the melted version. They were like,
I think it's that I think the case has gotten to a point. Well, obviously they're there to take the fleshicle away, right? The guy, but the case has gotten to that point, right, where they have really decided that it has to be linked. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, well, now we need to, so they're just trying to trace back the cause, being like it wasn't. And so it's zeroing in. I'm finding it very interesting, but I thought this was the most emotionally charged. I'm really liking the way that they're revealing things from the past, little by little, and more in a way that kind of feels natural. Like, I like seeing them. I really liked the softness between them, kind of the two leads kind of coming a little bit here, where it's so hard. But
yeah, I agree.
I loved this episode for Jodie Foster, especially for her character, because it was you're finally getting to get a little emotion from inside of her that she's been.
Well, and you can, we're starting to understand how she got here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Which we didn't really know much before. Right.
No.
And now, just that her son, I mean, we knew that there's something happened to her son, right? Yeah. But we don't know a ton, you know.
And then husband, right? So stepdaughter's dad. But other than that, we don't know. But you don't really, she's hardened because of X, Y, and Z, and that she was not blacklisted from where she was, but sent here for a reason. But it's the softness that's still
forcibly
kind of
transferred, basically.
Yeah, forcibly transferred, but it's like this softness that it still just feels very organic and real, where it's like she's not taking a 180 and suddenly becoming some really likable person. You know, it's just she's actually genuinely developing a care, for her partner. And I don't know, I'm just it just feels so real to me. I love it, and I continue to be really impressed by I can't remember the actress's name now. The other actress's performance we just talked about.
Callie Reese.
Yeah, Callie. Yeah, she's great.
She's incredible. When her sister died and she was yelling at
God.
And I love her little love interest guy.
Me too. When she broke down with him. But I was really worried that she was going to get killed by that gang of people or whatever happened there.
Yeah.
And then she didn't, which I was happy about. And then
like a coma or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't really stay outside very long, I don't think, in Alaska.
I would imagine.
Even
not.
With the right clothes on, I just feel like you can't really stay out indefinitely. You know what I mean?
If you got beat up and knocked out and then you slept outside.
You were just stuck outside. You might just die.
You definitely
because,
die of hypothermia.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Your extremities are going to, your face.
So clearly they had to decide not to murder her. You know what I mean? They were like, we're going to beat you up, but we'll put you in your truck.
Yeah.
Or they just.
Well, I think they thought if we murder a cop, we might get in trouble.
But either way, I thought that was really good. And then, of course, the explosive thing with her, and Jodie Foster is just going on and on about how the dead aren't here anymore. And she's, and then she's like, oh, my sister killed herself last night. It's like, what? But I think Jodie handled it so well. I just thought that was such a good moment and such a
You're learning
she's so
in
good.
That moment.
That's what I'm
Jodie's
saying.
Jodie's in denial about it too, right? Mm-hmm. It's like that's what I loved about how that scene went, because then all of a sudden she goes, "You saw something. It was a ghost or spirit or something."
Yes.
And it was but you just said they're not real. So she was like, it was a cool way to break through that. Jodie believes in it. She just doesn't want to.
But she doesn't want. Yeah, exactly.
Well, she's
so
clearly
very
rejecting everything. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, she rejects everything anyway, right? But so anyway, it's an interesting, they're doing a good job with the character development, which is always something that I am drawn to.
This is my question. Have any of these characters slept at this point? I feel that poor rookie cop has
Well, the thing is there's no daylight, so we don't actually know when it
but
is.
But we've
nice
gone from like Christmas
isn't.
Eve to Christmas Day and like, you know, all this stuff. That's and true. He's still working. Like,
yeah. Well, he went to bed. Remember, they went to bed and then
I know.
He went to bed and then they like were mad at each and other.
He did pass out drunk. But I agree with you because I thought that like before this episode, especially, I was just like, yeah, when is the sleeping happening? Like,
right. Like, they
that's what's
hard about there being no sunshine is that you really have no idea. Like,
yeah.
It feels like it's all one night. But
which I'm sure is the point of it, but you know,
well, of course,
it's logic like, brain kicks in, and I'm like, oh god, you guys gotta go bed.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was interesting,
like the Fiona scene too, where she was all dolled up and she made that pretty.
Oh yeah, that was great.
Christmas Eve, yeah.
Thing, and they talked a little bit about her former life.
I was just happy she was back because I was like, when is she coming back? But
yeah,
I also really, really liked that. You know, the last scene of it where the guy was like, they're all up in night country, whatever. And I was like, I thought this was night country. So I was like, I thought it was interesting too. That like this whole time it's called something. I'm like, we don't actually know what night country is.
And I just assumed we were at the end of the world, but apparently there is actually further depths to which people go off into nothing, which is not, shouldn't be shocking to me, but somehow I'm like, oh. Okay. I
mean, yeah.
So like Innis isn't far enough for some people. Like that town Innis, where like, I don't know, there's a stoplight is not small enough for people. They want to be more off the grid than that. It makes some sense, but it was a kind of wild.
Oh, apparently Innis is not a real place. Huh.
That makes sense.
I felt bad for 90 Day Fiancé guy.
Oh my god, I know. When she doesn't show up. Yeah. That was so bad, but so good.
Yeah, that was an interesting scene because I just dislike him so much, but I did feel like, I was like, oh no, because like he just looked so like,
you just
like,
feel bad because he's so desperate for love that he's clearly relying on this person who's using him.
Yeah, like if you're an empath at all, it was impossible not to just like feel something for him. Yeah.
Well, especially when he goes back and like there's rose petals on the bed and he has to clean them up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
So good, though. It was so well acted.
And he's clearly a terrible person. It's like, I get it. Like, it's good. It was good.
I mean, I have to admit, I did the thing where I pointed when they said, like, night country. I was like, that's the name of the show. We said it. We said the thing.
That's what's coming in Hollywood. Like, oh.
Yeah. Ooh.
I mean, and I think every season's been decent about doing this, but I feel like in this one, maybe it's just it's happening as we speak, but the endings are just, they always find a way to make that ending just like, yes. And I'm like, I want the next episode, but I really like having a week in between. Like, I like being able to just like think about
digest it
and talk about it and digest it. Cause it's like, I would have had no choice if the next two episodes are anywhere near as good as I think these last four have been. I would have had no choice. I would have just sat there and watched all of them in one sitting. And then it's like, I'd already be out of my brain, you know,
I can
sit with it like this.
Excellent. But I'm still like, I'm wavering on, and this is, you know, only being informed by one season of True Detective, but I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want it to be supernatural or I want it to be just like, I don't know if there is a logic-based solution or crime, that like makes sense here. And I don't know if I'm ready for the show to like dip into the supernatural. So I'm curious as to how they're going to resolve this in two episodes.
Yeah.
But
I'm
bored for the ride. Like,
I think there's a world where if they are really smart about it, they could resolve this in something that is like, somehow there's an explanation they can cook up that could be based on some sort of logic, but to the viewer will be very, and they'll be aware as they're cooking up that explanation, will be aware that it was like, there's more to this, that like, we have enough to piece together what we think happened, but I don't think we're going to get like a definitive, like, I don't think we're going to see some alien monster, you know, like,
well,
I think it'll be elevated.
I always like that though. Please don't over-explain it. When you try to over-explain the supernatural, it gets fucking weird and it's not good anymore. So leave it mysterious.
Like, don't
explain
make it
enough. Like, explain enough that I feel satisfied, but like, when you go too far, it just...
Well, there could be a fantastical element to it, right? Like, you can get into like a reanimated body or something in a way that is like, okay, because they found this substance that they were searching for that can do that, that people believe is from this like ethereal being, right? But you don't have to show us that it really was from that being, but you can kind of get into a science fiction place where you're kind of like, okay, this happened, and you could do that. And I think there's a way to do it that won't make us like, because I'm with you, Dana. That's basically me agreeing with you in a long-winded way. But I agree. I don't want it to go. I love Supernatural stuff. I don't want it to go into a full-blown X-Files episode.
Right.
Like a certain type of X-Files episode. I don't want to go into Alien Encounters or something. You know, like I'm like, let's just let this be, let my imagination kind of make up what I think could have really was the case, you know, but explain it in a Dana Scully type of way.
Well, we'll have to keep going with it. We've got two more left. I'm excited.
I am too.
Moving on to our other limited series that we're watching. I have to eat my words, apparently, because I guess the kid isn't dead on Expats. He's missing? I mean,
or he could
well,
be,
spoilers,
right?
Spoilers. But, now he's dead. But
we found like, a body that matches the description. Hopefully we don't have a lot of child bodies that we don't have
on the mainland right
this name.
He didn't immediately get hit by a car, which is what I had assumed would happen.
Like he got taken somehow.
Or wandered off or
something. But like, yeah, like it wasn't.
It wasn't an immediate
body
like,
had been found. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then my only thing with this episode, because I really liked it still, but I was like, wait, so then party that we saw is still was like us in like real time, right? Like the real timeline.
Yeah.
So that was before what we saw here. So like,
yes,
someone was just missing and they were having a party. They hadn't gotten the news. Like I was trying to figure out if like this news of like we found a body had happened before that party. And it's like,
no, I think this is post, like post. Almost immediately post, you know, a few days of, because they said that the neighbor's dead, something. I don't know. I think it was.
That one guy that was.
Well, the neighbor is dead, the old one.
With the photo. Yeah, yeah.
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 But we're still kind of waiting to get a full explanation on like what Nicole did / accused friend.
Husband of.
Right.
And then apparently the wife believed it for long enough that he hates her now or whatever.
Well, that scene I think he was talking about, they asked, where were you? Because he was like a suspect for a hot second and she paused. And he was like, she paused. And I was like, oh my God.
You're just a dickwad. Like, of course, everyone's going to pause when the police ask me a question. I want to answer it fully and capable and try to figure out like what they're trying to get at. I don't trust a cop for shit. So, of course, I'm going to sit there and be like, I don't know. What's the right answer that gets me out of here?
I don't know. That lady seems like she trusts cops.
But it's like, even if you do trust the cop, you don't want to get caught in a lie if you don't know where your husband was. You don't say like, oh, I think he did this.
Stressful situation when cops are asking you questions that sometimes you just kind of get blank. Like it's not like a I wouldn't read anything into it, you know, like that's not,
I mean, I think that's
so
just that character looking for an excuse.
Like, oh, it is clearly
I mean, anyone who cheats on their wife is a douchebag, right? Like there's no like
ifs, ands, or buts about it,
right? And especially since it kind of seems like he knows that she was involved with Gus, right? I mean,
The girl he's cheating with. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah,
because
yeah,
that's how they met.
He went to comfort her, remember? Like, that's how they met. Yeah. And so it was like, he knows that's her. So I think that it's like, I was thinking, they're bonding over like being shared enemies in a way in this situation. But it's like, if you're really mad about just like a pause with the wife, but then I'm wondering if Nicole went full on accusing him of something and we'll learn about it. Like,
yeah, probably
whatever,
based on
and
how she's behaving. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so we'll see, but because they've hinted at that, right? And then she had said, no one.
Well, and then also
she did to you. Remember?
And clearly their friendship got broken somehow, which, you know what I mean?
Makes sense. Yeah, they had a falling out because of something Nicole has done. And that's like, I kind of want to get to that already because you're making us watch scenes with this guy who's just like insufferable. And I feel for the lead who lost the boy, but I also am having a hard time really liking her as she keeps on having sex with this guy. So I'm like, give us more about what happened to him to let me like, and I know they will, but I want it now. But I still really enjoyed it. I'm really liking the show.
Yeah, I know this is blasphemy in this group, but I thought Nicole, like her performance is not the strongest out of all of them.
It's not, I love her, but I thought that in the first two, I was like, I she's not.
I feel like it has gotten progressively worse.
Yeah, it's not the best.
I feel like, unfortunately, she's played this character before, and so she's sort of phoning it in that way, you know.
Yeah, I feel like the more the character unravels, like, the harder time she's having grasping, giving, like, a grounded version of it.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And you know, I stand Nicole, but I'm not, like, crazy. I think she's fine. But I don't. But it's not.
She's not ruining it, and she's doing.
No,
you
but
know,
she's
right.
No, it's like, well, she's, I don't know. She's. I feel like she's struggling with her accent. Like, yeah. I just have trouble with. I don't know. I.
Her accent is always rough. Yeah. Like, unfortunately, like, I love her, but she never sounds American.
Right.
When she's playing an American, it's just she just never ever does. It doesn't ever work. But I forgive her for it.
I guess so.
but I would never give her an award for, like, an accent or something. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Being like, but I think, like, she, I can usually see past it when I think her performance is really just, like, when I'm watching her, it's like Virginia Woolf or something. But
sure.
Here, yeah. It's like, it's just not, it's not bad, but it's not good enough to make me just, like, get over the fact that the accent's kind of breaking.
Yeah.
But I stand by, I think I said this last week, but Sarayu Blue. Is that how you say her name? Sarayu?
I think it's close.
Her friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she kind of steals this thing. I think she's so good.
She's doing so good. She's everything. Like her, I mean,
her subtleties, the inflections. Like she's just like totally like stealing this thing. And like, you know, you're stealing it from.
Well, because I wouldn't. I mean, I was annoyed at her for like wanting him back and everything, but that scene was well done. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So well done.
Like, she
was just like. I was very like, because normally I'd be like, oh my God, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, what's going on here? And then, but I know that we don't know the whole story, but I feel like she delivers a performance where I'm kind of like, I want to see why you're doing this.
Yeah. It's so funny because I think of her as a comedic actress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think of her in like Cock Blockers and like other things, like where she's doing a lot of stuff, but like, she's usually, you know, but this is really working for me.
Yeah, she's doing great. But, I mean, we'll definitely see where it goes. We are halfway through. Again, these limited series are cruel sometimes in their limitations.
Cruel?
Cruel.
Well, it's like when we all say this all the time, but we love when something knows how long it should be and it doesn't go too far. Yeah. But when you're just like, really enjoying something, I want it to have the ability to go too far, to go so far that's not too far, but like I would love it if it was this entertaining to me for 12 episodes, right?
Yeah.
But it obviously probably knows it should be 6 if it's well done, and I respect that, but it doesn't mean I don't wish I could have more. So
exactly.
Yeah, but again, I like when something knows its limit and knows like the story needs to be told in this many and that's it.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're watching what? What else have we been consuming with our eyeballs? I don't know.
I was going to say, I think
you and I watched a lot of overlap, I think, this week.
Yeah, we had a lot of things that we watched. I don't know, Jackie, if you watched any of them. I watched Feud, of course. Like,
of course.
You know, no, I didn't.
You got me to watch Feud. That's how, even though I had no internet somehow.
Just like, just a sentence. What, are you happy you watched it or are you not happy?
I'm not unhappy I watched it. Okay. The Truman Capote is always so, he sounds like Droopy Dog. Like, it's, you know, my poor
friend. Yeah. Oh my God, you're the next Truman Capote.
Thank you, like, I know.
It was amazing.
And it's so funny because, like, I couldn't figure out why Tom Hollander was on some talk show recently. You know, he's been doing, like, the circuit. And I was like, what is Tom Hollander doing? He's not a big, and I was like, oh, it's because this. I didn't realize he was playing, you know, Truman Capote.
I love him. I love this for him. It's perfect.
It's, I think it's interesting.
I think his, like, him as Truman is just like, obviously, like, you know, a big Philip Seymour Hoffman guy. So it was like, he's like been my definitive Truman.
Right.
And then, of course, Toby?
Oh, Toby Jones?
Toby Jones played him, right? And he was great too.
All excellent actors. Like,
but now he's killing it. I was just like, this is wonderful. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's not disappointing me in any way. I know I've said this 1,000 times on here, but season one of Feud is like one of my favorite seasons of television of all time.
I'll probably go back and watch it.
And so I don't know that this will be that caliber, just because that's also like like the topic is just something that I like. It's my, as they say, my Roman Empire, as people say these days. But like that classic Hollywood, like that's it for me, you know. So
yeah,
watching those actresses go head to head. It's just everything to me. But anyway, yeah, I'm loving Feud. So yeah, I'm excited that's on to replace once Night Country ends or things that are it's another weekly that's on for me to just like,
yeah, but I don't know how many episodes it's gonna be. So I don't know how many. In fact, it's only 8 episodes, so it's not gonna your overlap is not that many.
Because we already got 2. Boy, yeah.
Sad. Yep. Boy, sad.
Just yep. End it. Yeah. Okay, well,
I
that's
watched,
sad, but I love
you
it.
You Hurt My Feelings, which I think came out last year, but I didn't know about it. And then I just found it.
Yeah. Is it good? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's an A24 film, right?
Yeah, I really wanted it to be better than it was.
Yeah, I
maybe
it.
It's because I got
like blown away. But
I guess I got excited because I was like, oh my God, an A24 film with Julia Louis-Dreyfus I haven't seen, you know, and I got excited.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fine. Like, it was okay. But
we're both giggling at your pronunciation.
You're stubborn for Stacey of it all.
I know. It's just me. I'm sorry. No, I don't know.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
We knew what you meant.
I love it.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I understand. I don't know what happens, you know? I'm really unsure.
Yeah, the spirit just, of it got
it
through.
Is,
through.
It is who I am, you know?
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it,
I was going to say, I watched He Went That Way, which was like the last movie from 2023, at least that I can think of, that I was on my list of like, I have to do this. And I liked it. It's not like amazing by any means, and it's very dry and bland. But if you like Jacob Elordi or Zachary
Quinto, not really.
It's, you know, yeah.
Zachary Quinto's
and serial killers. It's like, oh, yeah. So it was very up my alley. But yeah, I enjoyed that. And then Dana, you did, well, actually, by your recommendation, I did.
Scrambled?
No, I couldn't find that one. So I really wanted to do that. But I did the
Orion in the Dark?
Yeah, Ryan in the Dark. Which
I don't even know what that was. What is it?
Yeah, I didn't love it. Yeah.
You didn't love it? Okay. It's an animated movie. It is from DreamWorks, and Charlie Kaufman was the writer. It's based on a children's book.
Mm.
There are parts of it that do not work, or they don't. It's not that they don't work. They just speaking of unnecessary complications. It is full of unnecessary complications. But I love the idea of basically it's like this little kid who's afraid of everything, including the dark. And then dark is like personified as this character. And then there are like creatures of the night. So like anxiety or like, you know, unidentifiable noises or sweet dreams. And I thought that part worked so well. Like I thought they were so funny. The way that sleep like gets people to sleep just had me crying laughing. Also, that Werner Herzog is a voice in this.
I know. But it was like, narrated by Werner. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I was like, well, fine, you got me. It's uneven, but I thought the really creative parts of it were really creative.
Yeah, I think I could totally see that. I think for me, like a lot of it got overcomplicated, but I think because it went and got overcomplicated, I felt like as a whole, the creativity of all felt a little bit half-baked to me. Like I was like, you're on to something and I want you to like get there.
Yeah.
But it felt like it wouldn't allow itself to arrive there because it decided just to get crazy for reasons that don't
Well, I don't think it – I mean, my guess is like the source material is
– Oh, yeah, but as I'm just saying as a story. Yeah. Like whether it's the movie, the book, whatever it is, like as a narrative, it just like kind of went off the rails. But yeah, you know, cute enough. It didn't hurt anybody. I wasn't like mad. I just –
I don't know. I had no expectations for it, so I found myself like pleasantly surprised by it.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. What else? I also watched Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the first 2 episodes.
Sure.
Yeah, I watched that as well. I watched, like, I'm almost through episode 2, I think. I had to pause it, but yeah.
I don't remember the movie. I remember the hullabaloo around the movie. I know the premise of it, obviously.
With the Brad Pitt
one. Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie one, yeah.
Yeah, but I remember liking the movie.
I love that movie, yeah.
I don't have feelings about it one way or another, but...
Yeah, well, I'm just kind of.
I just remember being like, "Ooh, their chemistry." And
I'm just kind of like redone, or I'm done with the retelling and like
recycling of
this story. Like, how many times do we have to tell this story? Like, it's been the original Hitchcock film, and then you have the Scott Bakula TV show '96 that got canceled, and then you have the movie in 2005, then you have a TV movie, and now you have it's just like, and they're all like slightly different, but like variations of the same thing.
Yeah,
and I'm like. But and that's not even talking about the other stories that have had the same plot that are not called Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Right.
Well, I'm just kind of like, this isn't offering anything like super new to me. It's like they're making it into that thing where it's like, oh, now we're going to watch them potentially fall for each other as they have to. Like, they know going in, right? Where the Brad Pitt film, they didn't know they were trying to kill each other. Like, you know, like, and so it had
But,
oh, yeah.
In, in that movie, they were, but not in other ones, though. So this seems to be more based off the Scott Bakula show, if you ask me, because the Scott Bakula show.
Wow, they were spoiler.
Well, no, I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily going here. I'm saying, but the Scott Bakula show was them working together. And whenever they worked together, they had to pretend to be married. And they started like, it's like, oh, will they, won't they get together?
Okay.
But it wasn't about killing each other. The Mr. and Ms. Smith movie, but that with Brad Pitt was about, we're hired to kill each other. But that's unique to that movie. It could be here, but remember in that one, they're married and they don't know the other one's a spy.
No, so, like, I just literally said, I don't remember.
Okay, well, I'm just saying that was the whole premise of the film. And then it gets blown up by the fact that they suddenly have to blow each other's cover. And then they're like on this like goose chase trying to get each other, but then they fall in love anyway. It's like that kind of idea, right? It's like, and anyway, so it brought an element of fun to it. Whereas I feel like this is just kind of falling flat so far. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I guess I haven't watched as many as you. I don't know where it's going because I assume it's going to attempt to differentiate itself in some way. That might be an incorrect assumption. So I don't hate it so far, but like, I'm not wowed by it. It's like it's been a background watch so far.
I don't hate it. I'm just very whelmed by it. Is basically what I mean.
Yeah,
I'm just kinda okay.
It's interesting casting. Like, I don't. Apparently, Phoebe Waller-Bridge was originally set to be in it.
Oh, was she?
Due to creative differences, she exited.
She probably wanted to go comedy and they didn't want to or something, huh?
I mean, Maya Erskine is known for comedy, so it's like...
Yeah.
I mean, she's great in the role, I think, but...
But that's like, why are they going after comedic actresses if they're not going to, like, go lead more into the comedic tone? It's not that it's not trying to be funny, but it's not, like, I wouldn't call it a comedy, you know?
No, yeah.
So, whereas every iteration of the story before, I would say, was pretty comedy. Brad Pitt, Angelina was like action comedy, but like the show and the Alfred Hitchcock film, which has nothing to do with being agents, but that's supposed to be comedy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'll probably watch a few more episodes, but I'm not, you know,
I'm not overly invested in it. Shit. Yeah. But, you know, you never know. You could be bored enough one day and you're just like, why not?
I'll probably keep doing it while I unpack.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the thing, is that I can pay attention to it enough. Like, I don't need to know the details and I can unpack while I watch it. It like tells you what type of show it is. Yeah,
exactly.
But decent guest stars of the two I've seen so far.
Yeah, I agree. I like them.
I also watched Scrambled, which I think I mentioned to the both of you, which is uneven, but good. And very accurate about the egg, certain parts of the egg freezing process. I was like, yep, all right, that's how the shots go.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by it. I wanted to see it. I was going to try to watch it. I couldn't find it anywhere like on demand, but I do see it's in theaters, so I may go check it out.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And then the other thing I watched was The Tiger's Apprentice, which I did not make either of you even attempt because it made me sad. Yeah, it's another animated film, and it has Michelle Yeoh in it, which you would think I'd love it, and it's full of Asians, but it made me sad.
Yeah. Like, in a, like, why isn't this better way?
Yeah. It's like, set in San Francisco. It stars, like, a, you know, a Chinese kid, a Chinese-American kid.
Or me.
You know, it's about Chinese lore. Like, it has all these actors who I love, you'd think. But they added, I really didn't like the animation style to start. And then the story was not, it was not for me. Which is a shame. Also based on a book. Much like Orion in the Dark. Yeah. I think those were the main things.
Yeah, the last thing I watched was, I think you've seen on Netflix, they've got, it's like a docuseries, but Alexander, The Making of a God.
Oh, is that good? I thought about...
You know, it's not... I'm only like halfway through. It's not good, but it's not like, oh my God, this is so amazing. But if you're interested in the topic,
After I finish Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, but it's kind of done in the vein of like, did you guys watch the Cleopatra one, the Jada Pinkett thing?
No.
Okay, yeah, that one, like, I did not love, but it's in that vein where it's like, okay, here's, it's a docu-series, but
right,
also
with reenactments.
Like, dramatic reenactments. And so I could, these ones so far aren't like terrible. That one, I thought some of them were like, but this, but I could still do without them. I'm like, just give me the documentary. Like, you know, show art, do the, you know, like, I don't know.
I like a documentary better. You know what I mean? Like,
there's no budget
bored,
to do the recreation.
But I would just rather, you know.
Yeah.
With the recreations, unless it's like your recreations while someone's talking over the whole time and you're like, well, you know, like that's okay. Like on Unsolved Mysteries or whatever, where they're like, I'm okay with it for the most part, where it's like,
oh yeah, I watch a ton of that kind of stuff.
I love like a period piece like that. Like, there's no world
that's
in
what
which
I mean.
Gonna
yeah.
yeah,
that's what
no,
I mean.
Exactly.
It's like when the
it always looks so bad, but like I watch a lot of stupid, not stupid, but I watch a lot of murder shows, true crime ones, like mm-hmm. Death by Fame, and you know they're stupid, but they're like weekly, or yeah. like Who the Fuck Did I Marry? I watch a lot of those. It's all about. It's mostly husbands killing them, right? But not always. Sometimes they're just like fraudsters or something, right? Like, it's
sometimes
not always
it's
murder.
The wives.
And a yeah, very picture like about there's like way less of wives, but it does happen
yeah.
on the show at least. Anyway, long-winded way of saying I watch a lot of those and I don't mind a little bit of reenactment in that way, mm-hmm. but like historical stuff, it just looks so bad.
Well, see, I'm talking more like for me, like I'm okay with some reenactment when like the docu part of it never stops. And it's like, I'm here talking, I'm a historian talking about
yes.
this. And
yes.
I'm
yeah.
talking okay, over I'm what talking you're about, seeing. Like, but when they make the actors start talking and doing things, I'm like, this is too cheap. I don't
like no, that. Agreed. No. Like, because I like the interviews to be over the reenactments, right? So mm-hmm. you're like listening to them describe what's going on, but then they give you a visual. And I'm like, okay, I'm into that.
All right, well. Put it on the background, I guess.
But I will finish it because I just love the topic. So,
of course. Yeah.
So there you go.
I forgot. I did watch one more thing. I watched The Greatest Night in Pop.
Oh.
Which is about
oh,
the...
Oh, yeah. I thought about watching that.
It's good. It's... Yeah, it's actually... It's well done. It's... What's the... Making the We Are the World song. It's like absolute chaos of all these super famous people in one room. Sweating their balls off, like, you know, it's wild, and it's well told also, which is I think what I appreciated about it. My favorite is just look for the Bob Dylan moments. you'll just he's just like, what am I doing here? And it's so funny.
He's just wandering around like
not even he's just standing there like why. Like, what is this? But that they got it done is fascinating. And then there's also this kind of weird, awkward factor of like Michael Jackson is an integral part of it, and we're just talking about him in such like a positive way. And I'm like, okay, I guess we're just in the context of this, sure. In the, you know, grand scheme of things. But it was interesting.
They're being objective, right? Because like everything's, you know, it's a tricky subject.
Well, it's not being objective at all. It's told by, like, Lionel Richie is the through line of it. And he's like, I love Michael.
I guess I mean that, like, but that, like, that.
Yeah, that he was an integral part of
Max
the thing.
Is not, like, proven fact. It's like.
Sure, but they're painting him in a very, very positive yeah. light, especially given what is now known. But, yeah, it's I think it's worth watching. Like, it's fascinating. But, yeah. All right. Well, with that, I'm going to watch Vanderpump.
I know, right?
Thank you both.
Thanks.
Thank you, as per usual, to Jackie and Matt, and that is actually it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.